from the ArmeniaProud.com studios.
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Genatsit, genatsit hayer, pai luis inch besek. It's January 22nd. And we got a kind of variety of a show today, Chris. We've got Russell Pollard. He was on our past episodes, if you remember.
Absolutely.
And he's going to be talking about there's a remembrance type of thing about the Holocaust. Yep. And he's bringing in the Armenian genocide into it. So that's beautiful. And that's in Derby, England. And we'll be with him in a couple minutes on that one. And, well, basically, guys, we're going to have our show with Ani and Mariam, too. You know what? Before we get to them, though, Chris, I got to say, I got to bring it up all the time. But if you're out at Amazon and you're shopping and so forth, how easy is it to get to ArmeniaProud.com first and just click on, it's a little banner on your right-hand side, Amazon. It says Amazon right there, Chris.
Yep,
you
I do it every time. Every time I buy something now.
There you go. There you go. And just click that on, and you'll be right at the Amazon site and just shop away. You can't go wrong, and it really helps us out, too.
Absolutely.
Hey, folks, our first guest of the show is Russell Pollard, my good friend on Facebook, and he was also on our show maybe about episode 20, 21, something like that. And it went really well, man. I tell you what, and they're still downloading Russell's episodes, and people out there love hearing from you, buddy. How you been out there? Are you in England right now?
Yes, very much so, yes. So looking forward to going back to Armenia and Artsakh sometime this year. So we're still planning that.
It's pretty cold in Artsakh right now, isn't it?
Yes. I did go out in January once, but I'm looking more towards the summertime to at least enjoy the weather a bit.
Now, how are the roads in Artsakh during winter? I heard even in Armenia they're not good. I mean, they don't really plow the streets or anything like that. I could only imagine how Artsakh is.
Well, when I was out there, the main problem was in Armenia, I think in the Sisian region, because that's really high. So, but yes, around the windy roads in the Kashetag region, then the taxi drivers have more of a nerve for that than I would probably have.
Oh, my God. are those taxi cab guys in Armenia, I mean, they make their own lanes, don't they?
Make their own lanes?
They make their own lanes. I've never seen. I was there, and there's like a three lane, and they suddenly somehow made a fourth lane out of it. Just those taxi cab drivers. They're really dangerous.
Yeah, a lot of what I would call tactical driving, doesn't really work in the UK. But I just tend to keep my head down a bit.
And brace yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you got going, Russell? Last time I talked to you, yesterday or today, you mentioned that you had something going on with you were given some sort of a seminar or something like that. To fill me in on it.
Yeah, what it is on the 27th of each year, there's Holocaust Memorial Day, which is an international event that was set up to remember the liberation of Auschwitz in 1945. And basically the event is to remember the Holocaust and subsequent genocides. Now when I approached our local committee a couple of years ago and I said, well, why do you not cover the Armenian genocide? And they pointed out to me that was all subsequent genocides. But nonetheless, really? They said, well, if that's something you would like to deliver, then join the committee and then do it. And so 2015 was the first year that I did it.
You joined the committee? You joined the group?
Yeah, the local committee.
Wow. All right.
So we went against national policy and decided that we would cover the Armenian genocide. I think we were the only city in the UK that did it, against the sort of national policy, which is post-1945 genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did first thing last year. And most notably, what happened then was that our mayor, the mayor of Derby, received a letter from the Turkish ambassador in London complaining about the fact that we were effectively recognising the Armenian genocide, and essentially was trying to persuade us to change our programme and not,
you know,
bring up that issue at all.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And how much they deny, how much they deny. And throughout history of every race, every from the Englands, from the United States to whatever society there was, there had genocide. There was some sort of a massacre, genocide, part of their history. I mean, and every one of these countries has said, you know what, it happened. And I don't know why, and that's what angers me so much, is why do these guys, why do the Turks, I mean, they're so vigorous on saying, nope, we never did that. But every country in this world has done something, atrocity to someone, and they've stepped forth and said, you know what, it happened, and it's regrettable, it's part of our history. It's amazing.
Yeah. And certainly from our own history, I mean, you know, we would have a very checkered history in our case, and you know, we would have to step forward and say that there were many bad things that we've been involved in. So I don't really understand that. But the good thing from my point of view was it turned a presentation that could have been seen by people in Derby to be just a history lesson into one that was very much very, very current. To think that the Turkish government, effectively the Turkish government, had contacted
that's incredible.
Say, we're trying to censor what you're about to present. And that really, and I'll repeat that again this year because, you know, we'll have a different audience. Just to remind everybody, this is not a history lesson. This is something that you need to understand and think about why they've chosen to contact us and to try and stop us talking about it 100 years later. So whilst initially, my initial reaction was, I was quite annoyed, and then a few hours later, I began to think, well, actually, I'm quite happy they've done that because it helped.
I know.
Spread the message.
I know. That's something. Think about that. They're paying kind of like they're in their twisted way of thinking. I mean, they're respecting you out there, and they know that you've got some influence. So that's great. How did the mayor take it when the Turkish government approached him about it?
Well, a bit freaked out, actually.
Did they?
The mayor and also the rest of the committee were really quite anxious because they are, we might call, local people. They're not familiar with the sort of activism. And so, you know, they'd previously concentrated on safe areas of Holocaust recognition primarily, of which no debate. So the idea that, you know, I turned up on the committee a matter of months beforehand thinking it was all in good faith. And the next thing that happened, you got the Turkish embassy complaining. So they were really quite worried about it. And they were concerned that there might be people coming into the audience who would start heckling and cause problems.
Well, speaking of that, you've got a situation right now where you've got, in that Derby area, you've got a lot of Muslims right now that I'm seeing on YouTube, Facebook, and all that. Will that play a negative role on you guys doing something productive? I mean, can they start protesting and all that? How's all that intertwining with one another, if it is at all?
No. As far as what I'm doing, that's completely unconnected. There is no link with that whatsoever. So, you know, I mean, Derby is a very multicultural city. and have been, and we are an asylum seeker, what's called a dispersal city, so we get people who are put here for a period of time. So we don't really see those sort of issues as a problem to us at all.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, not at all. And it's one of those curious things about, you know, I see a lot of people writing things, see a lot of people getting very excited and concerned about things, but that's not really the reality. For the majority of people, that's not to say some people aren't, because they naturally will be, but, you know, you mentioned Muslims. I mean, I've been living with Muslims for my entire life. You know, it's just not an issue. That's not actually the point of concern.
And that's really, I mean, I'm going by whatever I see on the streets and all that, from the Facebook posts and so forth, and I'm like, wow, it's really becoming pretty bad in Europe with the protests and what's going on. It seems like chaos is broke. So it's not, I mean, this is pretty dramatic stuff that I'm seeing then, right?
Yeah, you're talking about the whole of Europe, and which is obviously a big place. I'm talking about the UK. So, I do understand that there are naturally emerging right-wing organisations in quite a number of countries, and we have them in the UK as well. But they are very, very fringe organisations. I mean, really fringe organisations. And you'll find that when they appear, I mean, they appear in Derby, and I followed them around photographically, a number of organisations. They are pushed to one side, they're despised, people don't like it, because fundamentally in the UK people are not anti-immigration, anti-Muslims, that type of thing. We actually despise that sort of behaviour.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So for the 27th then, do you get a crowd? Crowd gathering, how's that work? Can you let our listeners know in England if they want to participate in this? How do they do it? Do they meet somewhere, or how's this work?
Well, each city will do their own thing, and I can't really comment on those. But essentially, there'll be fairly modest arrangements. In Derby, we've got things going on throughout the week, but on the 27th itself, essentially, it culminates in an event at a cinema, what it amounts to. So we have an hour and a half's worth of presentations, and we'll get about 300-odd people there. And that's the forum in which I will do my presentation, amongst other people, because it's not just about me. There's lots of other people
doing
their bits, because we do cover the Holocaust, the genocide in Srebrenica, and one of the other things. So that's how it works in Derby, and that typically would how it work other places, because it's still fairly conservative.
Right.
And the important thing for me is to get across to people who are not Armenian, because we don't have an Armenian community in Derby, around the Armenian genocide, but also to get people to think in terms of what it means today. Again, so it's not a history lesson. It's about how that plays to modern day
history
politics.
Repeats itself. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I want to draw and make them care about what's happening in Artsakh, particularly, and how that kind of links together.
How are the Jewish people when you bring up the Armenian genocide? How do they? When I'm sure that you'll be hand in hand, when they say you're here for the Armenian genocide, and I mean, do they say anything about it? I mean, are they acceptive of it, or what's their view on it?
Well, the few Jewish people that we have in our committee are as liberal as and broad-minded as I'd like to think I am. So, again, that wasn't really an issue. I mean, last year, because it was the 70th anniversary of Auschwitz, 25th of Srebrenica and the 100th of the Armenian genocide, as it happened, we were awarded a special candle been provided to us by the National Committee.
Wow,
and
bravo.
As a group,
that's great.
As a group, we are the only group in the UK who then said, right, well, we've got three genocide that we wanted to kind of connect. And as a group, we decided that we would create our events around that. It essentially involved, as far as the Armenian community was concerned, that the candle would be lit and paraded through Derby Cathedral by a gentleman who came down from Manchester. An Armenian guy came down from Manchester, and he just set up in traditional clothes, and then we allowed him to take it into the cathedral, and that was the point in which the candle was lit on behalf of the Armenian genocide.
Oh, that's great,
man. Two other locations, one for Srebrenica and one for the Jewish Holocaust. So it became an integral part of our day's event.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember you posting that last year about it as well. I tell you what, Russell, you've done so much. You've got strong convictions. I've even called you Polardian many times on Facebook about it. So, I mean, your work is never unnoticed, my friend. We appreciate very much what you do, and this is on the 27th of this month, and good luck with everything, and we're all watching. I mean, on Facebook, I always see your stuff, and God bless you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that.
Take care.
Okay, cheers.
All right. That was Russell Pollard, my friends. The guy never stops working, and he's been there for... You know, he goes to Artsakh, visits Artsakh. God bless him. God bless him. You know what, Chris? The show, we always get a great guest on. And,
absolutely.
And it doesn't end there because now we have our great energy healing, Ani. Ani, how are you? How are things going?
Things are great. It's a special holiday here in Armenia today. Surp Sarkis Day.
Oh, my gosh. Surp Sarkis Day.
Uh-huh. The Armenian Valentine's Day, as we call it.
And that's your guy, Sarkis.
Yeah.
How can you go wrong with that?
I have a funny story. So as you know, in Armenia and Surp Sarkis Day, everyone takes it very seriously, especially the girls. What they're supposed to do if they're not married... before they sleep, they usually don't drink water most of the day, and they like eat this cookie that's actually salty.
Yeah.
And then in their dream, they're supposed to see their true love bring them water.
Oh, that's very nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and like some of them, like even they bake a cake and put a bunch of flour on top and put it on the roof or outside the house. And if there's any marks on the flour, then they have been blessed by Surp Sarkis.
What about Pigeon walking by eating the cookies and the cakes? What's that mean?
Well, if you could believe what you could believe.
Yeah. What if a girl doesn't want Surp Sarkis around and she's very happy being alone?
That's the
point. Yeah, that could happen too, Ani.
My Sarkis just said she just Surp Gerborg. I have Sarkis with me here today. We're celebrating together with pizza.
With pizza? Hey, Sarkis, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
I didn't know you were Surp.
Oh, this is what she believes in.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Well, my story was it was my first Surp Sarkis Day last year because I had moved here and I didn't know about the holiday till I came here. And I was living with a host family because I was a volunteer at the time. And they made me the cookie, and I had started dating Sarkis, this Sarkis. And I had a dream that I was, like, in a very dangerous situation. I was in a car. I don't know where I was. And then I called out for him, and it started raining. So it kind of – it's true if you think about it. Because he technically brought me water. It was raining. And
unbelievable. Did Sarkis have a cape on or anything like that?
With a horse and a cape.
Yeah. All right. Great. Well, you know what? Whatever makes people happy, whatever cookie they want to eat, a saltine type of cookie, that's fine. But everyone's trying to find that Surp Sarkis in their dream, I guess. So what do you got? What do you got going for us there, Ani?
Well, I kind of wanted to highlight this weekend and the next few days.
Uh-huh.
Because it's very special astrologically. First of all, we have a very special full moon.
Really?
And it's going to be on Saturday and Sunday and Monday, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be quite a powerful full moon. And I encourage people to try not to get intoxicated during this time or put themselves in vulnerable situations, because it's powerful and people tend to do kind of crazy things. Even many firefighters will agree that full moon, like, they get the strangest calls every time. So it's very interesting. It kind of sparks out the wild side. But it's a good time to wish and see your wishes come true and kind of change and that kind of stuff. But this full moon in particular is interesting because we are in a phase right now, what we like to call Mercury in retrograde. So this happens 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically where we're orbiting becomes in alignment with the powers of Mercury. So we're aligned really, really strongly. And it's like a 2 to 3 week period where everything is kind of madness, to be honest. When Mercury is in retrograde, it seems like all communication is miscommunicated. Even down to technology is kind of eerie.
This sounds really scary. I mean, I'm really right now frightened that I have to wear a helmet around the house and stay away from my wife.
Oh, my.
This could last, you said, for 3 days?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
So, yeah, so basically they say not
Asvazuzdur. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
They tell us not to make big decisions or sign contracts within when Mercury's in retrograde. And anyone can look up online to see the year calendar and see when the next ones are coming up. But usually bad decisions are made, or it's better to hold off, wait till it's kind of like the storm is over and then continue again. So this full moon is not just full moon. It's Mercury in retrograde full moon, but it's ending. So we're beginning again next week. Things are going to get better if people are in a weird, sticky place and can't seem to find.
They just ate cookies and left them out, and there's cakes all over the place. All right.
Yes. And this weekend is also special because there are a certain planets that are going to be visible in the next few days.
In Armenia or all over?
All over. So Mercury will move from evening to morning sky. So you'll be able to see it during those hours. Venus will be the brightest before the sunrise. Jupiter will be second brightest before sunrise. Mars will shine between Venus and Jupiter. Saturn near Venus, but it's going to be visible just before dawn. And it's all kind of during this time. So there's a lot going on.
I won't catch any of this. I will not catch any of this. I will be asleep. There's no way I'm going to get up and start looking at the sky that early.
I hope somebody does, because I want to see some good pictures of someone with a great camera that has a clear sky, because it's a very great event that's happening. And I kind of wanted to people ask me all the time about their actual astrological sign. I'm a Libra. Sarkis is Pisces. I don't know what your sign is.
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What the hell's going to happen to me?
Well, Scorpio,
you already told me I'm going to be attacked here in the next 3 weeks at my house.
You guys are extremely passionate.
Yeah, we are.
And you know how to get what you want. And if you don't, everyone in your way will get stung for sure by the scorpion. But
I have that tail. I will sting you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually kind of a good trait. Like, you always know where a Scorpio stands on an issue. But I wanted to let everyone know that they're not just one sign. We're made up of a lot of signs depending on your time and place of birth. So I know, like, a lot of these horoscopes, a lot of people can read them and be like, oh yeah, that's totally me. But then there are those handful like, oh no, that sounds too general, it's not me. Well, it's because we're not just made up of one sign. So I would encourage everyone to get online and just to hit free astrology chart and then see what pops up. And usually they don't bug you with pop-up ads or annoying emails. You literally just type in your first, last name, the exact time to the minute you were born, year and location. And it shows you where you were born in terms of alignment of the stars and how each sign affects you individually and personally. And it helps people get a good insight about why they may have certain habits or drawn to certain things, what kind of career path they choose. So it can be very insightful. But obviously your sign doesn't make up everything about you. You know, we grow up in different environments and such that make up who we are, but yeah.
Okay. I got a question. My significant other is like, in the December up to, let's say in the teens, what would that be?
She's a Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
So basically, you're a Scorpio. She's a Sagittarius. You're water. She's fire. Both equally passionate and run on emotion.
But water and fire don't get along.
Well, actually, it depends. You can balance each other out because water can put out the fire, or fire can, you know. Depending on, sometimes fire makes the water.
I think you're trying to be nice here. We're doomed, aren't we? Okay.
No, but it's extremely a passionate pair, and
it's passionate. That
energy will always be constant. Yeah. And it's actually a beautiful combination, honestly, because you can understand each other in ways that others can't.
Okay, because there's football playoffs this weekend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I'm sure she's not going to go for it, and there's going to be things flying around. So I just want to know how safe I was this weekend.
This coming weekend, it's not really that safe for anybody.
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
A high emotional weekend. But
Sarkis, where are you?
Yeah.
Hey, Jonathan.
Where are you, Soup Sarkis? I'm going to need you this weekend.
I'm sitting here eating my pizza.
Okay, all right.
Listening to Ani.
Soup Sarkis is taking a break eating pizza. Right. All right. Okay, and Ani, so it's not going to be it's going to be wild and crazy for the next 3 weeks.
This is the thing. The fact that you are aware of this information, you know how to handle these situations when they come.
Yeah.
And this is why it's important to be attuned with the cycles of the moon, attuned what's going on in the skies around us, because knowing it's kind of going to be a little chaotic astrologically and it's going to affect here on Earth, we can do a lot of damage control this way. So okay. We know what to expect, and that's kind of the beauty of the whole thing too.
Now in Armenia, do they have anything like a Surp Sarkis party where
all over
they
have these dinners.
The guy on the horse walking all around the city, going to Lover's Park.
Really?
Yeah.
And I thought this was only for women. I mean, the men are into the Surp Sarkis too.
Powers.
And gifts. And spend so much money.
you're Surp Sarkis, you're going to spend.
I was outside in the town during, it was an afternoon. And the churches, you can see next to the churches, women are selling or gifting salty cookies.
God, that's got to be a...
And all single girls.
On the salty cookies? We
never had it back.
All single girls are thirsty tonight.
Yeah, Bolorach Chiknera, they're walking around with their cookies.
With their cookies.
It's very interesting for the tourists. It's very cultural, you know.
Well, last year I went to the actual Surp Sarkis church because, you know, I wanted to, you know, partake in the festivities considering, you know, I was dating a Sarkis. But, man, it's elbow to elbow in the church, and you will get pushed out of the way if you're not fast enough.
So this is like Match.com. Who's ever got a cookie is single.
And the interesting part of this story is actually the actual Surp Sarkis, he was not the saint of the lovers. He was a warrior who got killed.
My God.
Who got executed. It's from the Romans.
Poor guy. Poor guy. Yeah. All his life he's been a warrior, and now he's a guy with the cookie.
Yes, I had no idea. to be honest, back home in Syria, we always celebrated Subsargis in the church in very, you know, very like normal ways. Uh-huh. But in Armenia, it's like more Valentine-ish.
Oh, so he's a lover now. He's not a fighter.
Yeah, he's a lover guy.
Well, they say when he was executed,
he was executed.
They saw his light body come out of his physical body, and that's, you know, that became the man of wishes, I guess, for everybody. And most people wish for love.
Okay.
Yeah, and also the Sarkis, Subsarkis. Originally, his name was Sergios. Sarkis is the Armenian version of the same name, Sergius.
Oh, so he was an Italian guy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, way to bring that up. Way to bring everyone down on that one. Yeah, we thought we had a Sarkis, now we got a Sergio. I hear Ani laughing back there. All right. Well, that's great, guys. We've got 3 weeks of mayhem, and we've got Sarkis running around.
The 3 weeks is over after this weekend.
It's over after this weekend. That's great. That's great. That's great. And we've got a lot of women walk around with cookies that you can tell are single because they're the ones with the cookies in Armenia. You can't beat that. You don't. If you're an Armenian man out there that's looking for a beautiful woman, just see if they got a cookie in their hand, right?
Yeah, totally. Yes, exactly. They should give them a cookie with their phone number already.
Already on the cookie.
Engraved on the cookie.
What about a fortune cookie? Anyway, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Ani, Sarkis, so you enjoy being a lover, and you're not a fighter anymore. You're a lover. And Ani, we'll talk to you next week and get something going again. This was beautiful. I really now know that whatever happens this weekend, it's only part of the horoscope. So me and the wife will still be very
blame
much
it on
together.
Mercury. It's totally fine.
All right. Take care, Ani.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You know what, Chris? I'm glad I'm catching the back end of that 3 week cycle of the full moon.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't need another week of my wife freaking out on me or anything.
Say, it sounds like you're on the downslope, though.
Yeah. But what she said about everything needs to be no contracts or anything like. Yeah, tell that to our GM.
Yeah, we're outside
I can't do
contracts.
Anything. I'm not doing anything.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But you know what? As long as we got Mariam
food,
always brings us ravishing food for us to cook.
I'm excited because I'm especially hungry today. So
you know, I cooked her meal last time, and the meat was all dry and everything. But don't worry about it; it wasn't her fault. It was my fault.
She didn't make the meat.
Nope, that's right. Anyway, hey Mariam, how are you?
Hey guys, how are you?
Excellent. We are great here today. How are you?
I'm doing fine, just going. It's Friday. I love Fridays.
Yeah, they are the best day of the week. There's no question about it.
Hey, absolutely. I agree. I was just thinking this week, what am I going to talk about? And I was like, wait a minute. There's, next month, it's Valentine's.
Yep.
And I just remember that we have Armenia and Armenians, in Armenian communities, we celebrate St. Sarkis Day, and that's very similar to the St. Valentine.
Wow. Yeah, that.
Yeah, and what happens is that there's a little story behind it, a myth, actually, that there's the recipe that I'm going to give out. I'm just going to give you the story a little bit.
It's,
the young women or the girls and the guys, single, what they do, they eat this salty bread, on that day before they go to sleep, and they see their loved one, or not the loved one, husband or wife to be in their dream, who gives them water.
Oh wow!
So that's the story, and that's what they eat. And it's the Saint Sarkis Day is basically the Valentine's on February 14, I believe, and then the Saint Sarkis is evolved this year on February 4th.
Nice.
So that day, yeah. And the recipe follows. It's a very simple recipe. I mean, it's not something you would eat every day. It's made on that day.
I like
simple. It's like a cup.
I'm good with
you
simple.
You like simple.
Yeah.
It's one cup of flour, all-purpose flour, and you can definitely use more if the dough doesn't come out, if it's too loose. Or it's half a cup of water and a lot of salt. That's about it.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
Yeah. You know, I remember my grandmother made it once for me, but, you know, I was so young. I don't remember if I saw anyone, but she made it on a, you know, stovetop on a pan, just like a pancake. But you can definitely put it in the oven, and you just, as long as it's a golden brown, I mean, you can take it out and then you eat it right away because you don't want to be that thing to get cold. It hardens, and plus it doesn't, it's not that appetizing when it gets cold.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, so yeah, that's the recipe. And the story behind it, I didn't know the story, so it was very interesting for me to find out. It kind of, the same Sarkis was a warrior, and he had this battle that they had a victory. And that night they were celebrating, and the castle that they were in, the king ordered 40 women to go and kill this man. So 39 of them killed him. Only one of them spared Saint Sarkis because she fell in love with him. And instead of killing him, she kisses him. And I guess that's the story behind all this.
Very, very cool. That's a neat story to, you know, to go along with it. I'm glad that there was one. I'm glad there was one who was compassionate enough to not kill the one guy.
I know, right? Yeah, it's a happy ending.
Happy ending, especially on a Friday.
Yes. So, yeah, that's the bread, and that's the bread that they eat that night, and they see their Prince Charming or the princess.
I love it. Well, I can see how it relates to Valentine's Day.
It does, yes, and it's kind of big in Armenia. They celebrate that. So, yeah, it is big.
Well, that's awesome. Well, do you want to explain to everyone again where they can find you online and your book and everything?
Yeah, I'll have a little story with that recipe, definitely. That's going to be on Cooking with My Armenian Family. That's my page.
Okay.
And that's my book as well. It's Cooking with My Armenian Family. Of course, this recipe is not in my book, but if you want to find Armenian recipes that my family made, you can definitely go to Amazon.com. And I believe you guys have it on your website,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Remember, if you go to Amazon, you got to go to our website first, find the Amazon banner on the right-hand side of the page.
Yeah, I've been using that banner a lot lately, and yes.
That's great.
You know, yes, and I've been telling a lot of people, and I want everyone else to go to that site and hit that banner.
Well, thank you very, very much for that. And we obviously, you know, anytime anyone has to buy anything, they're able to go through there. It's really easy. And, you know, they don't ask you for any other information. You just go right from our page to Amazon and buy all your little heart desire. So,
yeah, literally. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that sounds good, Mariam. Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you for the recipe, St. Sarkis. And we will hear from you again next week.
Yes, definitely, and you have a great weekend yourself.
All right. Bye, Mariam. You know what, Chris? Anytime I need some sort of recipe and something like that, you got to go to her site. You got to go to her site. What? Her site's Cooking with My Armenian Family. Have you been on that?
On Facebook, yeah. No, I'm on there on their radio, and I actually have her book. I have her cookbook on
my
bookshelf.
I got one, too.
Yeah.
I got one, too, and I got my wife and about 5 or 6 of her friends have joined in on it. They love the site.
Yeah, and you can easily find her book on Amazon. But you know,
at Amazon, that's a plug for
site.
Us. You got to go to our site first, though. Go to ArmeniaProud.com and click on Amazon, my friends, and then you can catch Marianne's book as well.
Exactly.
All right, my friends, that does another great week of.
Had some great, I mean, the stuff this week was really good.
It was good. Yeah. It wasn't. It was kind of like a potpourri of things.
Yep.
I didn't go into one big celebrity out there, but you know, we had Russell Pollard, who's in England right now, who's doing something great for us, and Ani with the cookies, and I guess it's kind of like a Match.com with Serpa Sarkis and. There's no such thing as Match.com. I want to say that, too. Anyway, my friends, have a great weekend, and kisher party, and genatsit, and we'll be in touch with you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of Genatsit Hayed.
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabenjian. You can find the show online at armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or at ArmeniaProud on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com.